We present The Big Sleep by Raymond Chandler, dramatized in three parts by Bill Morrison, starring Ed Bishop as Philip Marlowe. The Big Sleep, Part 3. California, 1939.
When old General Sternwood hired me to protect his two daughters, Carmen and Vivian, from blackmail, it seemed a simple case. I took the blackmailers off his back, but the questions wouldn't go away. Why was Vivian still afraid? Where was her husband, Rusty Regan? Why was a racketeer like Eddie Mars involved? I'd had a belly full of the Sternwood sisters, but the memory of a dying old man stayed with me. He deserved better. Everybody deserves to die in peace. But I didn't have the answers. A gray sedan had been following me, a small guy in it, alone. It wasn't getting either of us anywhere. I let him follow me down to the office, slid out the back, and walked around to where he was parked. He didn't see me come up till I was beside him.
Hey, who are you?
I'm the guy you've been following for 2 days.
Well, I ain't following anybody, Doc.
Then this jalopy is. Maybe you can't control it, huh? Well, I'm not going to be doing anything interesting for the next while. If you have anything that's worrying you beyond endurance, I'll listen.
Well, maybe you know me. I'm Harry Jones.
I don't know you.
Well, I've been around.
What's your connection, Joe Brody?
Key Rice? How did you know that?
I'm psychic. Shake your business up and pour it out.
I got something to sell. Cheap. A couple of C notes.
Who sent you? Agnes?
Yeah. Huh. Well, she says to tell you Brody had something else on the Sternwoods besides the picture.
So?
But that's what your $200 will buy. Agnes and me got to get out of town.
She's too big for you, Harry. She'll roll on you and smother you.
Hey, that's kind of a dirty crack, brother.
You're right. I've been meeting the wrong sort of people lately. What have you to sell?
It'll help you find Rusty Regan.
Oh, I'm not looking for Rusty Regan.
Says you. Eddie Mars had Regan bumped off.
I wouldn't waste the oxygen arguing with you.
Well, what if I told you where Eddie's wife was?
I'm interested.
What if she never dusted with Regan at all, but is being held about 40 miles outside L.A. so everyone would think she had? Would you pay two C's for that, Seamus?
I think I would. Where is she?
Agnes found her by a lucky break. Saw her out driving with Canino and tailed him home. Now, Agnes will tell you where when she has the money in her hand.
You could tell the coppers this for nothing, Harry.
Look, I haven't pulled anything. I come in talking two C's, and that's still the price. So we're all grifters, and we sell each other out for a nickel. But I come to you because I thought I'd get a take it or leave it. Now you're waving cops at me. Oh, you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
You'll get your 200, but I have to get the money first myself.
Okay, better after dark. Anyway, now here's an address. It's an insurance office, a front for a bookie. I'll take you from there to Agnes. I'll be alone. It's a leery job, bucking guys like Eddie Mars, but, well, a guy has to eat. See you then, Seamus.
Somebody had got there before me. I could hear the voice of Harry Jones. It said a name, Canino. I slid into an office next door and listened.
Eddie wants to know.
To know what?
You followed Marlowe. You talked to him. Why?
What makes it Eddie Mars' business?
Eddie wants to know.
I went on account of Agnes. She's got something and she figures Marlowe might pay for it.
Peepers don't give dough to punks.
He said he could raise it.
Don't fuss with me, little man.
Okay. Brody was trying to peddle a nudist photo of the young Sternwood girl. The girl tried to get it back and took a shot at Brody. Now, Marlowe was there, but he didn't tell the cops. Neither did Agnes. She figures if she did, he would lose his license, and that's worth railway fare.
This ain't got anything to do with Eddie?
Show me how.
Where's this Agnes at?
She's my girl now, Canino. I don't put my girl in the middle for anybody.
Where's Agnes?
Go ahead and blast me and see what it gets you.
A Chicago overcoat is what it could get you, little man. Now, where's Agnes?
Oh, okay. 28 Court Street up on Bunker Hill.
You got good sense.
I guess I'm yellow.
Let's have a drink. You got a glass? All I want to find out is she dummying up on you. If not, everything is jake-a-loo. You can put the bite on the peeper and be on your way. Let's dip the bill.
Success.
No hard feelings?
No, Canine.
Moths in your ermine, as the lady says. Well, you ain't sick from one drink, are you, pal? So long, little man.
I had no gun, so I had to let Canino go. I smelled the bottle, the odor of bitter almonds. Harry Jones, dying, had vomited down his coat. Cyanide. I had a vision of Canino driving fast through rain to another appointment with death. I called information for a phone number for the Court Street address, then made police noises at the apartment manager. No, Agnes. Harry had lied and drunk his cyanide like a little gentleman. He died like a poisoned rat, but he was no rat to me. It occurred to me that Mr. Canino is the kind of self-confident gentleman who would not mind returning to the scene of his crime.
Yeah?
Is Harry around?
Not for a minute, Agnes.
Who's talking?
Marlowe.
Well, where's Harry?
I came over to give him the money. The offer still holds. Where are you?
You got the money?
200. It's all there.
Okay. Brody and I were out driving Sunday before last. Saw Eddie Marr's wife and Canino out for air. Joe tailed them back to east of Rialito. That's orange country, but just there, it's bare as hell's backyard, except for a cyanide plant where they make the stuff for fumigation. There's a garage run by a G named Art Huck. Deals in hot cars for Eddie Marr's. Behind that is a frame house. That's where she's holed up. Canino's the watchdog. Well, that's it. Goodbye, peeper. And wish me luck. I got a raw deal.
Like hell you did. In the end, fate stage managed the whole thing. I was fooled by the dark and the rain and went off the road and burst two tires just beyond Rialito. And the only garage was that run by Art Huck. So I took one of my two guns from the hidden dashboard compartment of my car and splashed to his door. I could see the frame house beyond, light in two front windows. Canino's car sat in front.
What are you on?
I've got two flats back on the highway. I need help.
Sorry, Mr. We're closed.
Oh, come on. This is a hell of a night.
Try Rialito.
Guy's in a jam, Art. You run a garage, don't you?
Okay, come in.
Two flat tires, huh? That's tough. You a stranger in town?
Traveling through on the way to L.A. How far is it?
40 miles. Seems longer in this weather. Where from?
Santa Rosa.
Come the long way?
Any law against it?
Ah. Get a jack and get his flats on.
It's raining. You might have noticed.
All right, move.
The teamwork was very nice. I didn't see the signal. Art picked up a tire tube and slammed it down over my head and shoulders so I couldn't move my arms. Canino came almost dancing towards me, without sound, without expression. I tried to lift my hands, but his fist went through them like a stone through a cloud of dust. I had the stunned moment of shock when the lights danced and the visible world went out of focus but was still there. Then there was nothing but hard, aching, white light. Then darkness, in which something red wriggled. Then just darkness and emptiness, and a rushing wind and a falling as of great trees.
Who?
There was this woman. She was so platinum that her hair shone like a silver fruit bowl. I moved my head a little. It hurt, but not more than I expected. I was trussed like a turkey ready for the oven.
How do you feel?
Great. Somebody built a filling station on my jaw.
What'd you expect, Marlowe? Orchids?
And just a plain pine box. Don't bother with bronze or silver handles. And don't scatter my ashes over the blue Pacific. I like worms better. Did you know that worms are of both sexes and that any worm can love any other worm?
So you're a detective.
How did you know?
You slept well. They had plenty of time to go through your pockets. They did everything but embalm you.
What time is it?
Why? You have a date?
What are the boys doing? Digging a grave?
They had to go somewhere.
You mean they left you here alone?
You don't look dangerous at the moment. Besides, you don't know much.
I know who you are.
Then I'm afraid you're in a bad spot.
From your husband? Eddie Mars?
I hate killing.
How about a drink? My blood's going round like a tenant looking for a house.
You... Why'd you have to come here and stick your neck out? Eddie wasn't doing any wrong. You know, if I hadn't hid out here, the police would have been convinced Eddie murdered Rusty.
He did murder him.
That's a lie. Anyway, it's none of your business.
The whole thing is my business. I'm hired to find out.
Eddie's not that sort.
You like racketeers.
As long as people want to gamble, there'll be places for him to gamble.
You think he's just a gambler? I think he's a pornographer, a blackmailer, a hot car broker, a killer by remote control, and a suborner of crooked cops. He's whatever has the cabbage pinned to it. Don't try to sell me on any high-souled racketeers. They don't come in that pack.
Eddie's not a killer.
He has Canino. Canino killed a man tonight. A harmless little guy was trying to help somebody out.
I don't believe you.
You know what Canino's going to do to me. Beat my teeth out and then kick me in the stomach for mumbling.
At least you'll be quiet. I want to think.
Isn't platinum hair out of style?
It's a wig, silly. Well, my own hair grows out. See?
Nice. Who cut it off for you?
I did it myself. To show Eddie I love him.
Good.
To show him I was willing to do whatever he wanted me to do. To hide out, that he didn't need to have me guarded. I wouldn't let him down. I love him.
But you've just met me, Silverwig.
You're a kick. Kidding, but every breath, the spot you're in.
What spot? I have your word, Eddie's no killer.
Why did you come here?
A little bird named Harry Jones led me to you. A little bird that used to hop in and out of bars, picking up horse bets for crumbs. Information, too. This little bird picked up an idea about Canino, and it led to you. He came to me to sell. I got his information, but Canino got the little bird. He's a dead little bird now, with his feathers ruffled, and his neck limp, and a pearl of blood on his beak. But Eddie Mars wouldn't do that, would he, Silverwig? He never killed anybody. He just hires it done.
I don't believe you.
You believe me.
No.
You know Canino. Canino's going to kill me.
No.
What happened to Rusty Regan?
Eddie didn't kill Rusty.
Eddie doesn't kill anybody. Maybe he just hides the bodies.
You'll find Rusty alive and well when he wants to be found.
But you left Eddie for
I
him.
I haven't seen Rusty for months. He just went away.
And you're not a prisoner down here?
Why did you have to come here?
I hate killing, Silverwig.
Get out of here. You've got to get out. Quick.
Thanks for cutting the ropes. I brought these handcuffs.
Canino has the key.
Then let's go. You better come with
me.
No. You can't stay here after turning me loose.
Very funny. You see, I still love him. Isn't that funny? Women.
You've got to come with me.
You know I'm not going. When you get away, keep quiet for a few hours. You owe me that much.
You're going to wait for Canino to come back to say so sorry?
I'm not afraid of him. I'm still his boss's wife.
Eddie Mars is a handful of mush. Canino would take him with a teaspoon. The only time a girl like you goes for a wrong G is when he is a handful of mush.
Get out. You're clear. Get out, please. Please.
Kiss me once, Silverwig. You're cold. Your lips are ice.
Cold?
I ran through the rain. My raincoat was open in front, and I couldn't button it with the handcuffs on, even with my hands in front of me. The skirts of it flapped against my legs like the wings of a large and tired bird. I found my car and took the other gun out of the hidden compartment. I had a picture of Canino driving back jauntily through the rain, having made sure Art had got rid of the hot car in the garage. They would leave no evidence. He was sure I was in the house, all wrapped up, ready to mail. I stood in the rain. All I had to do was wait in the darkness till he got out of his car and blasted. I couldn't do it. I watched him go into the house. I had to get him out again. I went over and started his car.
Walk in front of me, doll. Slow. Can you see him?
It's too dark. I can see nothing.
Stay in front of me. Walk to the car.
I see him in the car behind the wheel.
Goodbye, peeper.
Hey, Canino, over here.
Marlo!
Thanks, Silverwig. The sunlight was so bright it danced as I walked up to the Sternwood place. The birds in the ornamental trees were crazy with song after the rain. The terraced lawns were as green as the Irish flag. The knight above the door had still not rescued the lady. It was 5 days since I had rung the bell for the first time. It felt like a year.
Sit down, Mr. Marlowe. You'll excuse me receiving you in bed. I've not been too well lately. You may smoke.
I know. I'll blow it around.
I did not ask you to look for Regan.
You wanted me to, though.
I usually ask for what I want. I feel you betrayed a trust.
I want to give you your money back.
Why?
I didn't do the job. I was convinced you put Geiger up to me as a test. You were afraid Regan was involved in the blackmail. You wanted to know, so I kept looking.
Do you consider that ethical?
I do. You don't know what I have to go through, over, or under to do your job for you. I do it my way. I do my best to protect you, and I may break a few rules, but I break them in your favor. This case isn't over with Geiger. I'm not Sherlock Holmes. I don't expect to go over ground the police have covered, pick up a broken pinpoint, and build a case out of it. Cops don't overlook things, but they don't play hunches.
Am I to understand you are still trying to solve the puzzle?
No, I've been warned off. I quit. That's why I want to give you your money back. It isn't a completed job.
Find him. I'll pay you another $1,000 just to know if Rusty is all right or if he needs anything. Am I clear?
Yes, General.
I guess I'm sentimental and no soldier at all, but I took a fancy to that boy. Find him for me, Marlowe. Find him.
He had his eyes shut before I reached the door. He looked a lot more like a dead man than most dead men look. I went to pay a call on Carmen to return her little gun. The last time I had seen her was when I threw her out of my bed, so I wasn't sure how she would greet me.
Marlowe, you're not mad at me.
She gave me that look that's supposed to make me roll over on my back with all four paws in the air. I gave her some advice about not using a gun to shoot at people. She asked me to teach her how to shoot. She took me to a deserted place, some old oil wells of the families. Carmen had a secret, naughty look. The place, a secret, dirty look.
This the place you had in mind?
Mm-hmm.
What? The smell from that old sump would poison goats. Otherwise, as derelict oil rigs go, it's beautiful.
You're cute.
Yeah.
Give me my gun now.
There you are, all clean and loaded. I'll put a tin can up as a target. Over on that old wheel there, okay? Now, don't start shooting until I get back beside you, remember?
Okay.
I'm going to put the can on the hub. Then if you don't hit it, the wheel will stop the bullet. How's that? Think you can hit that? Carmen?
Stand there, you son of a bitch!
All right. Just let me get my handkerchief between your teeth. Ow! That's it. Take it easy. My, but you are cute, Carmen. I don't think you would have missed me with a single one of those if they had been real bullets.
What sort of a brute are you, Marlowe? You killed a man last night. Now you come here and frighten my kid sister into a fit. What did you do to her?
What has Eddie Mars got on you?
I told you not to ask me that. What happened to Carmen?
Seemed like a mild epileptic fit to me.
She has them once in a while.
Do you know a man named Canino?
I seem to vaguely remember the name.
That's who I killed last night. How did you hear about it?
Never mind.
It all ties together. Geiger and his blackmail, Brody and his pictures, Eddie Mars, Canino, and all the little dead people who got in the way, and you. Eddie Mars was behind the blackmail. He was testing your father to see what he knew. But your father sent for me, which meant he wasn't afraid, which meant he didn't know what really happened to Regan. So Eddie couldn't blackmail him for a lot of money in a hurry. He had to wait for you to inherit the millions. Am I boring you?
You tire me.
Your father offered me $1,000 this morning to find Regan.
Why?
That's a lot of money to me, but I can't do it.
Why not?
This is Carmen's gun. She fired all five chambers at me in her fit. Too bad I had it loaded with blanks. I had a hunch she would do it if she got the chance.
You're a horrible man.
You're her big sister.
You can't prove this.
What?
You were alone with her down at the oil wells. It's only your word for it.
I was thinking of another time. A time when there were real bullets in it. When she asked Rusty down there to teach her how to shoot, and he put up a can and turned around for her to shoot him, just like today, and for the same reason.
What reason?
Do I really have to tell you?
Yes, I'm afraid you do.
Night before last, I came home to find her in my bed, naked. I threw her out. I guess maybe Regan did the same. But you can't do that to Carmen.
I suppose you want money.
How much?
$15,000.
Just what Rusty had on him. Is that what Canino got for disposing of the body after you went to Eddie Mars for help?
You son of a bitch.
Yeah, I'm a very smart guy. I'm so money greedy that for 25 bucks a day I do my thinking for myself, what there is of it. I risk my whole future, the hatred of cops and racketeers. I dodge bullets and eat saps and say thank you very much. If you have any more trouble, I hope you'll think of me. I'll just leave one of my cards in case. All for 25 bucks a day. And maybe a little to protect what pride a sick old man has left in the thought that his blood is not poison. That his two little girls are a trifle wild, as many nice girls are these days, but they are not perverts or killers. And that makes me a son of a bitch. All right. I don't care anything about that. You offer me 15 grand. That makes me a big shot. For that, I could own a house, a new car, four suits of clothes. I might even take a vacation without worrying about losing a case. That's fine. What are you offering it to me for? Will you put her away? Somewhere where they will keep guns and fancy drinks away from her? How she might even get herself cured. It's been done.
He's in the sump down at the old oil wells. She came home and told me about it just like a child. I knew if Dad found out, he'd call the police, and sometime in the night, he'd die. Rusty wasn't a bad fella. I didn't love him. It was all right, I guess. He just didn't mean anything to me compared with keeping it from Dad.
So you let her run around loose?
I was playing for time. DeMars was the only one could help me.
You'll take her away. And do it damn quick. I'll give you 3 days or I'll spill the story.
I don't know what to say to you. I don't know how to begin.
See that she's watched every minute.
I promise. What about Eddie?
I'll handle Eddie.
He'll try to kill you.
His best boy couldn't. I'll take a chance on that.
Marlowe.
Put her away. What? What did it matter where you lay once you were dead? In a dirty sump or in a marble tower on top of a high hill? You were sleeping the big sleep. You were not bothered by things like that. Oil and water were the same as wind and air to you. You just slept the big sleep, not caring about the nastiness of how you died or where you fell. Me? I was part of the nastiness now, but the old man didn't have to be. He could lie quiet in his canopied bed with his bloodless hands folded on the sheet, waiting. His heart was a brief, uncertain murmur. His thoughts were as gray as ashes. And in a little while, he too, like Rusty Regan, would be sleeping the big sleep. The double scotches weren't doing me any good. The headlines said a war was coming. Civilization was being threatened once again. I had more scotch. All it did was make me think of Silverwig, and I never saw her again.
In Bill Morrison's radio adaptation of Raymond Chandler's novel, The Big Sleep, Ed Bishop played the part of Philip Marlowe, and Robert Beatty that of General Sternwood. Vivian was played by Diana Olson, Carmen, Liza Ross, Eddie Mars, Paul Maxwell, Bernie Oles, Harry Taub, Agnes, Nicolette McKenzie, Joe Brody, Blaine Fairman, Mona, Irene Sutcliffe, Carl Lundgren, Weston Gavin, Taggart Wild, Rod Beecham, Harry Jones, Don Fellows, Canino, Peter Marinker, and Captain Kronjager, Henry Knowles. Other parts were played by Malcolm Gerard and Walter Hall. Music consultant, Adrian Edwards. The play was directed by John Tiedemann.